1 John 2, our text this morning is found in verses 9 through 11. 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is not only the author of this word, but is also the one that you have given to instruct us in this word and to use these words that you have given to be our means of instruction and strength. So we trust you for your blessing as we meditate upon this portion. In Jesus' name, amen. How to keep from falling. I think whenever I think of the matter of falling, I remember the situation that occurred to me back in Chile after we first arrived. I was doing some Bible studies in homes, and I had the Bible study in one of these homes in a section of Santiago, and it was dark. I was walking along a street where they were making repairs. They were putting in a deeper water line and sewage line, one of the two, and there were only street lights on every corner, and so all along the block it was dark. And as I was walking along these mounds of dirt, trying to get over to this house where we were going to have the Bible study, there were deep shadows, and all of a sudden I felt myself falling, and I thought I was going all the way down to China. I finally stopped, and there I was with soft dirt on four sides, as this hole had been penetrated down into the earth a distance of about 9 feet. I'm 6 foot three, and when I stretch up I might reach 8 feet or so, but it was beyond my reach. And the Lord graciously had two young fellows sitting off on the street corner about a half a block down that just happened to be looking down that direction and saw me walking and all of a sudden didn't see me anymore. And so they came, otherwise I'd have probably been there till morning. They came and reached down, one holding the other, to reach down and pull me out of that hole. Afterwards I found a portion of scripture that would have been helpful to me. John chapter 11 and verse 9, Jesus says, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not." I didn't know if I was supposed to change my Bible studies to the daytime. But this portion of Scripture, we're told that there is a more serious fall than the kind that I had. There is a fall because of spiritual darkness, a fall that we are warned about in this portion. A walking in darkness, a blinded eyes, and occasions of stumbling. As I looked at this portion, the question came to me, how do you keep from falling in this kind of a sense? And so there are two things we'd like to look at. First of all, I think we are kept from falling by making sure that we're in the light. The first step then is to make sure you're in the light. The question then is, how do you know if you're in the light or not? How do you know? Can you know? And I believe that as we look into Scripture, we find that we can know that we are in the light. And John says here very clearly that if we hate Christians, then we are in darkness. Verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Verse 11, he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. And so if there is a hatred for Christians, it is an evidence of darkness, and that that person is in darkness. I think back to my own life before I was saved. I was a teenager. One of my friends that sang in the choir with me, we sang, were both members of a church that did not preach the gospel. Neither of us were saved, and we would sing in the choir together, and many times as we were talking, he would recount to me one of his latest disagreeable experiences with one of those fanatical Baptists that he would never really say he hated, because, you know, that doesn't sound nice, but he sure despised them. And he would relate to me all of his disagreeable experiences and his judgmental ideas regarding those fanatics for whom he had no use at all. There was clear evidence there of hating Christians, and this is an evidence of walking in darkness. And then we ourselves, I probably wouldn't have gone to the extent he did in talking against Christians, but we had relatives that were kind of too religious as far as we were concerned, and so we just plain avoided them. And so we didn't hate them by necessarily talking against them, but we evidenced our hatred for them by simply avoiding them all we could. Just don't be around them any more than you have to. So there was a hatred there, which was evidence of the fact that we were in darkness. We were in spiritual darkness. And so, although we would have said we were Christians, after all, we were members of a church. We had been members of a church for many years, and we would have said that we were Christians. We would have said then that we were in the light from that standpoint, but we had no use for real Christians. And John says that kind of a person is in darkness until now, even until now. And so he says he is still not saved. He's still not a real Christian if he doesn't love Christians. This was the situation with the Pharisees. They claimed to be of God. They claimed to be the children of God. And yet of Jesus it was said they hated him without a cause. 1 Peter 2:8 tells us that Jesus was for them a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Matthew 15:2, we read that the Pharisees were offended after they heard the teachings of Jesus. And so there was a hatred there for Jesus Christ. And if you hate Christians, you know that you're not in the light. Now, it's not wrong to hate in itself. There are things that we are told to hate. There is a godly hatred. For example, Psalm 97 and verse 10, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil." And we are to hate evil. And one of the indications that we really do love the Lord is that there is a hatred for evil. Proverbs 8:13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." Psalm 119, verse 128, "I hate every false way." Hebrews 1:9, referring to the Lord Jesus, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity." And so there is a righteous and godly hatred. But the person who hates or despises, avoids genuine Christians, gives evidence that he is still in darkness. And on the other hand, we know that we are in the light if we love Christians. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14, we read, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." And we see this as a very clear change in the life of a person. As soon as he's saved, he just delights in being with people that really know the Lord. And in John 13:35, Jesus says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, because ye have love one for another." And so the indication that a person is a genuine Christian and is a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ is that he has love for other Christians. And this is how you can know that you are in the light. Well, if you are not in the light, how can you pass into the light? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, we see the cause there of darkness. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And so we find here that those who believe not have their eyes of their understanding blinded and darkened in order that they might not see the light of the gospel of Christ. And so there is that unbelief that allows Satan then to blind the mind. And so we have this combination of the sin of unbelief and the blindness that Satan brings to the mind. And the contrast of that, showing the cure, is in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, where Paul speaks of the ministry that God has given to him with the Gentiles. He says that God had sent him to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And so there is the entrance into light, the opening of their eyes to be able to see that light. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul says to the Ephesians, "You were sometimes darkness, but now are light in the Lord." And in John 12:36, "While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of light." And so we have here the cause of this darkness is unbelief, and Satan then blinding the mind, whereas the cure then is repentance of that sin and belief in the gospel, that Jesus Christ bore our sins on the cross, repentance and faith in the gospel message. And so the first step then is to make sure that you are in the light. And it's interesting, John says here, "He that walks in darkness doesn't know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." And this is characteristic of a person who is walking in darkness. He doesn't know where he's going. I think one of the biggest questions I had when I was still walking in darkness was I didn't know where I was going. And I even asked myself, if I should die, where would I go? And I didn't know where I would go if I should die. And so this is an indication in your own heart. Do you know where you're going? If you should die today, do you know where you would spend eternity? He that walks in darkness doesn't know where he's going. And there is this darkness that has blinded the eyes. And so do you know, if you should die today, where you would spend eternity? Would you go to heaven to be with Christ? Would you spend it a lost eternity in hell? And the characteristic of one who walks in darkness is he doesn't know where he's going. And so to keep from falling into a lost eternity, we must come to the light of Jesus Christ. Believe on the light, that you might walk in the light, Jesus says. And the result then is you know where you are going. You can see where you are going. And you know where you will spend eternity. And so the first aspect here is to be sure that you are in the light. And then the second thing that John talks about here is to make sure that you abide in the light. Now, the indication then is that it is possible for a Christian to fall. The question is how to keep from falling. The indication is that it's possible for a Christian to fall. And the reason of our falling is if we take our eyes off the Lord, who is our light, and the Christian then can fall. Jude chapter 24 tells us, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." The Christian doesn't have to fall. He is able to keep us from falling, but we can fall, and Christians sometimes do fall. When we look at other Christians, for example, Paul warns us about comparing ourselves with ourselves, and a Christian then can fall. Peter looked at the waves, and he began to sink, because he took his eyes off the Lord. And so the Lord is our light, and we focus on him. And so a Christian can fall, but there's something about the fall of a Christian in that in its duration, in that it is temporary. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." And so the indication of a just man is that he rises. He may fall, but he's right back up again. And so a Christian can fall, but John says, make sure that you are abiding in the light and walking in light, because that is what keeps us from falling. He is able to keep us from falling. And one of the means that he uses is that he gives us light in which to walk so that we don't fall. And John says here in verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now this phrase, none occasion of stumbling, so I thought of what that really meant. The verse came to me in Psalm 119 and verse 165. Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. In other words, nothing will cause them to stumble. Now that is exactly what John is saying here in verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. And as I checked the way this is in the original here in 1 John 2:10, with the Greek translation of Psalm 119:165, they are identical. The very same wording. Which means we could translate here 1 John 2:10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and nothing shall offend him. So it isn't really saying that he's not going to be a stumbling block to somebody else, which is probably true, but that isn't what it's really saying. What it's really saying is he is not going to stumble himself. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and he's not going to stumble. Nothing shall offend him or cause him to stumble. Now, I'm sure as you have had opportunity to talk with other people, you have found that there are many people in the world today who have been turned against God because they have been offended by a Christian. I know as we've gone visiting door to door, how many times I've run into people that have come from some kind of a church background, and they say, well, I don't go to church anymore, you know. Somebody did something to my mother, or somebody did something to my father, or somebody did something to me, and so I had enough of that. Offended because of other people. Sometimes other Christians that offended them. And so there are many who have been offended, who have fallen because they have stumbled over somebody else. Now, the person that causes the offense will be judged for that offense. It was mentioned last week in our Sunday school class, you know, well, can you just be God's instrument in somebody else's life? Well, if you're an instrument of irritation in somebody else's life, don't glory in that. Even though it might bring blessing to him ultimately, you will be judged for being that source of irritation. And so don't take that upon yourself as a God-given ministry. You know, the Israelites were taken into captivity by the Babylonians. But God said very clearly, I will judge that nation. Even though God used them in the life of Israel to take them into captivity and purify them and bring back a remnant, still God says, I will judge them for what they did. And in the same way, the person who causes an offense will be judged for that offense, for causing another person to be offended. But the person who falls is responsible for falling. And so although the person that offends me is responsible and will be judged for what he did that to me was an offense, I will be judged for taking offense and for being offended and for stumbling on over his offense. And so there is that mutual responsibility there. Just because someone offends you doesn't mean that you have a right to be offended. What it does is it proves that you do not love the offender and that you are walking in darkness. Because if you stumble over him, it means you're walking in darkness, because he that walks in the light doesn't stumble because he sees where he's going. And so if he falls and you stumble over him, it indicates that you are walking in darkness. And so the occasion of stumbling is really not the offender. The occasion of stumbling is in the offended. And the offended one is responsible, because it is an indication of darkness, which is a lack of love to the brother. And so John says there is no occasion of stumbling in him. The offense does not justify being offended. There is no occasion of stumbling in him. And so if we are walking in the light, nobody can make us stumble. And so that's why the psalmist says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall make them stumble, because they're walking in the light and they can see where they're going. Now if you're walking in darkness, you can stumble over just about any little thing. And the way we see Christians so quickly offended, we gather that many of them must be walking in darkness, because they are offended so quickly and they stumble so quickly over any little thing. Because if we are walking in the light, we see where we're walking. And there, although there might be something we could stumble over, we don't, because we're walking in the light, because we love our brethren. Now, abiding in the light then not only keeps us from falling, but it gives us a ministry of restoring. You know, if you're piled up there on top of the other person, it's pretty hard to lift him up. You have to get up yourself first. But if we walk in the light and we do not stumble, then we have a ministry also of lifting up those who have fallen. When we walk in the light and our brother falls and would be ordinarily a stumbling block to us, rather than stumbling over him and blaming him for making us fall, we have a ministry of restoration in that we can lift him up from his fall. And so, as a result, we can take his offense not as an excuse for being offended, but rather as an opportunity to minister to him and to restore him. And so the one who offends is responsible for his offense, but we are responsible for our response. And if we abide in the light, then we see the need that is expressed by his falling, and we can love him and meet that need. So then we can say that every offense becomes an opportunity to minister. Well, that means then, how can a Christian ever hate his brother? Because the one who offends you the most is the one that is giving you your biggest ministry. The disciples said to the Lord, "Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother? Seven times, if he offend me? Seven times?" And the Lord said, "No." He says, "Try 70 times 7, which is 490. Try 490. Well, why? Well, because he is providing you with a ministry. And by the time you have learned the 490 different ways that he can disappoint you, you have a tremendous ministry. You can minister to just about anybody by that time. And so just think of all the good he's done you. And so how can you write him off when he is providing you with such a marvelous training experience? He is responsible for his offenses, but you are responsible for learning godly responses to those offenses. And I think there's one other thing regarding this. Then walking in the light, loving our brother, sometimes, let's face it, we kind of get to the end of our rope and we look at a person and we think, oh, I know, how can I, and maybe it's 275 we've gotten to and this is going to be 278, so I just can't take any more. How am I going to love him? I'm ready to give up. You know what I find really helps, and the Lord is so faithful in this? He will just allow me to make some kind of a tremendous, to be a tremendous disappointment to somebody else. And I'm just tremendously humbled. Oh, Lord, how could I have done that? I just feel so miserable about myself. You know, all of a sudden, I find I can love the brethren so much easier. You know what that indicates? That means that lack of love for the brethren is basically pride. And so when we're humbled, all of a sudden we can love the brethren again in a new and deeper way. And as we love them again in a new and deeper way, we're walking in the light. And then we won't stumble over them. And so, how to keep from falling? The first way to keep from falling is to get in the light. If you don't really love God's people, you don't love God. And that means that you are walking in darkness, and one day you will fall headlong into a lost eternity. And God tells us that the solution is to repent of our sins and to believe the gospel that Christ died for our sins and rose again, that we might be delivered from those sins, that we might be saved, that we might walk in the light. And so the first step is to get into the light, to become saved and to know personally Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. And the second step then is to walk in the light, or to abide in the light. And as a Christian, we can fall, but he keeps us from falling by providing light for us to walk in. Now, we confess that we do offend. James says, if any man offend not in tongue, the same as a perfect man. And we all do offend much in many ways. But as we abide in the light by loving our brethren, then our brother's offenses do not cause us to be offended, but rather they cause us to build a ministry as we take the opportunity of ministering to him. Every time we offend, we are indicating a personal need. Every time someone offends us, it's an indication of a personal need that they have. And love is seeing and meeting the basic needs of others. And so as we love our brethren and walk in the light, then rather than stumbling over him and blaming him for tripping us, we rather see his need and are able to lift him up. And so John says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and nothing shall offend him. So we pray. Father, we confess that our own natural human hearts are so easily offended. Every little thing that somebody else does is a potential offense over which we can stumble. And we confess, Father, that many times we do things that would be a rightful cause for others to be offended. But we praise you that you have made clear the way of victory. And that although we confess that we are not perfect, and as James says, we do offend, we thank you that you have provided the way to overcome, so that rather than being offended at each other's offenses, we are able to help each other overcome our offenses. So we thank you for this provision, that you are able to keep us from falling, not only that we might stand, but that we might then have a ministry of helping others to stand. And so we pray that you would indeed at this time humble our hearts, that we might have sincere love for one another, that we might walk in the light, and that we might have a ministry of reconciliation in bringing the gospel message to those who are lost, as well as restoring the brother who has been overcome by a fault. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we sing number 240 in closing? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But love lifted me.